Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Matacos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, You Can Triumph Over Sexual Temptation. Now, let me say that this is a very important topic for the community, and I am only speaking to members of the community. We cannot, and I cannot present a universal show on sexuality and temptation. The world or the cosmos has its own standards and its own viewpoint. And I don't consider the cosmos system believes or follows as an opposing system of belief or beliefs. However, let me say that in some way there is a competing view at stake. But there is a significant and higher standard that is presented for the believing community within the Word of God. And unfortunately, that standard has largely been overlooked. And I can say that because I have been in ministry now over 30 years, and I have seen a lot within the community. There was a time in which I was taken aback by what I saw or experienced, and I watched certain individuals who were in leadership, of course, exploit their leadership because they knew that if they were caught, what they were doing with the members of the community would be overlooked, approved, or if things really got out of hand, these persons would be shuffled about and relocated. And so that would be the extent of the disciplinary measures that would be enacted. And that was it. And so when I was in seminary, there was even one particular church in which we had whose pastor was a visiting professor. And what was interesting to me that a lot of the leadership of that particular church were involved with the young women of that church and had children by those. There are other stories that I knew and heard about with regard to clergy members and what was going on with them with regard to females. Now, the Bible also says a lot about human sexuality. it says very important things with regard to human sexuality. The Bible also talks a great deal about the emotional component, spiritual component, and also the diseases that accompany certain types of sexual behavior. The Bible also speaks about the impact that this behavior, that is sexual behavior outside of marriage, or this behavior, or the impact it has upon the family, and primarily what this relationship, that relationship, that is the impact it has on marriage, on individuals who are married to one another. And of course, what happens to the life of a believer when an individual has taken that step, has transgressed in this area, and what happens to his or her relationship with God. I've watched people over the years who seemingly have been involved, and for the most part, they have been involved in great ministry, or seemingly so. But then if one looks closely, one can see the energy of the flesh at work. One can see the work of the enemy involved in what eventually befell that person, that ministry. And so there is a lot at stake in understanding sexual temptation. So we don't want to take this to a simplistic level and quote certain scriptures and say, when you find yourself, or when one finds oneself in a particular situation, that you need to recite certain verses to help you to overcome. So I want to say that, first of all, I want to provide an understanding of the word temptation. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. As Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. I want to bring your attention to verse 2 of chapter 4. Once again, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And so the particular word here for temptation, or that has been transliterated temptation, is perizomenos. Perizomenos. And this is a very interesting word, and in the way it is used in this verse. Is also used in verse 13. There is charisma. And so we read, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in the Greek preposition, which be tempted under the devil, under the devil. The word diabolos, or devil, means one who survived. And this word speaks of the character of the enemy. Now, after the word hupo in the Greek text, then we have the article, which is a possessive genitive, and the article, of course, that is transliterated ba for us, is an adjective, and it is placed before the noun diabolu. Diabolu is a possessive genitive. So what I want to bring to your attention is the fantastic nature of the tempter. The enemy is called the one who tempts, or who brings to elicitate temptation in the life of an individual. And here, in this context, this word is used with regard to his role in the temptation of Jesus. Now, paretho, the word that we're looking at right now, the enemy is called the ho paretho. He's called the tempter. Matthew 4:1, also in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, James 1:13 and 14. Now, paretho is connected with para, or experience. Paretho involves entangling a person in sin, or discovering what good or evil, weakness or strength was in a person. Matthew 6:1. Or knowing it, making it manifest to the one. This word also means, it is used in 2 Corinthians 5:5, it means there to examine. And it is also used in Revelation 10, 5, and Matthew again, of Matthew 1, means to show someone unapproved. So, temptation is a very serious term in the New Testament with regard to believers. Now, you and I know that we are attracted to certain types of personality. Men are attracted to certain types of female, and women are attracted to certain types of male. Problem occurs when we allow that attraction to take us into a different direction. Now, to help us to realize how very dangerous the struggle can be for us as believers, God has provided us adequately, and he has equipped us powerfully. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the armor of God. And in that context, he talks about the helmet of salvation that the believing one must wear in order to protect his or her thought life. Because the enemy, we read, that the helmet of salvation is to protect the head, as it were, that is the mentality or thought life, from the fiery missiles that the enemy shoots at the believer with deadly precision and deadly accuracy. And so, the helmet of salvation is to protect the thought life of the believer. And it is vital to protect one's thought life. also involved, let me say, is the will or the volition. Helmet of Salvation protects the volition. That is, protects the believer with regard to visions that are constantly being made for holiness. You make choice moment by moment choice. And with regard to fidelity with God and fidelity toward our marriage. So you and I have known within our own persons how we can hide, think we can hide our sexual attractiveness, or when we are sexually attracted to another individual, is not our spouse. And so there are behavioral cues. There are behaviors that belong with this attraction. And the attraction can be very powerful and very compelling. And therefore very dangerous. Now for the believing one, he or she must be aware of the flesh of socks. So, Paul writes some very interesting words for us in Romans 6. He says, Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or to be dead in fact unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And so the word reckon in this context is a present imperative. It means to calculate or to reason right now. It is a present imperative. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. And dead here, this context is an adjective. Unto sin. So in verse 12, he goes on, let not then, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that is, including your brain, including your nervous system, including the cerebral cortex. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So here, verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign, is a present imperative in prohibition, which means, in other words, that this forbids an action already going on. It is the believing ones would stop this practice. They would stop it at once, stop it immediately. And notice the purpose clause that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, interestingly, science has noted that brain tissue does not die, but it's also noted that the brain it changes and it shapes itself around our beliefs, our understanding, And what we think about most shapes brain tissue, shapes the morphology of the brain, the structure of the brain. We have also noted in science with regard to the heart that the human heart has up to 40,000 neural cells on its own. And so the heart, it seems to have a dialogue with the brain. And so scientists have also discovered that every cell of the body appears to have neurological tissue, or there's response. There is that is the body is not a machine, but that the body responds to the thought life. It's what we meditate for, what we ground into. And so the popular media, you can just buy anything without supporting data or research. And it can manipulate awareness. And the media can say, well, I can't go down a particular road without consequences. Well, consequences with regard to certain behavior are very thought, very and highly instructive. So, believing one's own joy, verse 13, neither yield you your members as instruments of righteousness, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness, unto God. So we overcome through to love it. We overcome sexual temptation through talking to ourselves. Then we're slower not to let sin reign in our body. We should obey it in the lust thereof, and we are not to yield our members that it is our body. In the Greek, the word instrument, apla, and it means instruments of war. We can war against ourselves by allowing ourselves to not fall into temptation, but we place ourselves into temptation. We can position ourselves in such a way as to create the vulnerability, sexual vulnerability, flirtatious behavior that we want. We plan that we can put ourselves, or make ourselves available for them. Now, interestingly, in Romans 13, Paul writes, in Romans 13, 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, in verse 13, he writes, let us walk honestly. The Greek is chorus. Let us walk decorously as we want. As in the day, not in rioting, it is partying and drunkenness. We're there for drunkenness is komos. And the Greek komos, K-O-M-O-S, or C-O-M-U-S. And he was the god of art, named Jesus Roman. Let us not walk in art. Law. And drunkenness. The word drunkenness is here from the word methi, M-E-T-H-E. And this word means drinking party. It means hard liquor. And also boinosis, which has to do with the influence of wine. The flood is not and not in chambering and wantonness. And so chambering means here illicit, it's an old word. Not in strife and indeed. Pretty on the Lord Jesus Christ, and notice the language you put switching. Make not provision for the church. They need to prismize, place oneself in the area or to make oneself vulnerable to the party other than is to set up sin. We're not to make provision. Now, I can deceive myself and say, well, I fell into this, or this just happened, but the flesh has conniving ways, as even I will know. And Psalm 90, once again, tells us that there are no secrets in sin. And we're also told by the psalmist that before thought comes into our conscious awareness, thought already knows the direction we have chosen. So it's therefore imperative to have a profound knowledge of the Word of God so that one can protect oneself, triumph over sexual temptation, the power of the living God, word, prayer, making no provision for flesh through reckoning ourselves dead sin. Also, we triumph by having a wonderful and fulfilling sexual relationship with one's spouse, dating one's spouse, having warm activities together, having joy together, doing that which satisfies or which God will approve of. Within the context, within the boundaries of marriage, sexual contention is very passive. It is alive, it is not passive, and one must be very careful. One must guard his life. One must guard his life against is highly a destructive thing. Pastors, doctors, therapists, lawyers, persons in power, persons in position of authority can place themselves in a position to exploit, use, to abuse that authority. Guess what? God is watching our behavior. God is watching our actions. I have seen the result of what has happened to the lives of those who transgress in this area, and it is not very satisfying to say the least. Years and years and years later, in fact, one man called me after he had had an affair with a woman. 13 years later, he calls me up because he still had no peace in his heart. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.